be.
Okay, so tonight I wanted to talk about a topic that has kind of swept through the world of psychology in the last 10 or 15 years that I believe has a lot to teach us about personal growth through Torah, the name of this whole series. And you might have heard this word before. So, in the last 10, 15 years, there's been kind of a movement in world psychology that has to do with the word or the concept of mindfulness. Anybody ever heard that word, mindfulness? No? Okay, you heard of that word? Okay. So, I think that it's a concept that has a lot to offer us, and I want to try to explain it and then view it through a Torah lens and see what and how it has very practical applications for us, and I think it's really a life-changing idea. So the idea of mindfulness is a very simple concept, but it's actually quite hard in practice. It's basically the idea of being fully present in the moment that one is in. Okay? Now, that sounds like a very simple idea, being present, being really here, being fully aware of what's happening right now. But it turns out that that's actually profoundly hard. And that most people, and they've done a lot of studies about this, spend a good part of their time either thinking about something that already happened in the past, and worrying about that, and regretting that, or they spend a lot of their time in the future, thinking about what's going to happen, being nervous about that, and planning for that, and whatever it is. And it turns out that it's very, very hard for a person to be fully here in the moment that they're in. And they've done a lot of research about how the ability for a person to be aware and to be focused here in the moment that he's in is correlated with all kinds of positive results. In other words, relationships go a whole lot better when a person is present with the person that he's in a relationship with. A person appreciates the world around him and nature a whole lot more. A person is much more self-aware when he's present, not only with his surroundings, but also present with his own self, the thoughts and feelings that he's experiencing. And this movement has basically been to incorporate this concept and in very practical ways and to offer practices of how to do this to enhance presence in all areas of people's lives. And of course, it's not a coincidence that as technology is kind of reaching into every area of life, which is pulling us away from being present and being really here, so you have movements like this which are trying to buck that trend, right? Technology is really all about not being here. You're being in the screen instead of being with whatever's going on around you, instead of being with the people that you're actually physically with. Technology has certainly wreaked havoc on that. I'm not saying that I'm against technology, but I do think that we have to be aware of some of the detrimental effects of it, which is that because we're so scattered, right, because we're always checking or we're doing a lot of things online, it makes it much more difficult. Right, so the classic example of a person who has a whole beautiful sunset going on around him, but he's kind of checking his messages on his phone. Right, because you're basically missing all of the moments in life because you're so busy with whatever you're connected to through technology. So that's one of the reasons why it's been much, much harder for people nowadays to really be fully here in whatever it is that they're doing. Now, that's a concept, but I want to understand more why this has relevance to us as Jews and what we do with this. So first of all, if it were only for the, I guess, the reasons I've mentioned so far, that a person should work on being present with his own self and with the people around him, if it were only for the reasons that it makes you happier, it enhances your life experience, it makes your relationships better, that would already be enough of a reason for a person to realize that, hey, I'm only really half here a lot of the time. And we can think about it from our own lives. When you're learning, you're also thinking about the things you have to take care of after you're learning, or am I missing a text? When you're talking to somebody, how many of you have ever experienced talking to somebody and knowing that person has other stuff on his mind while he's talking to you? That means he's not really here. His head is kind of somewhere else, right? So there are a lot of reasons, besides any religious reasons, by working on kind of being in the moment is a valuable and positive thing. But I think it's even more than that, and this is really what I want to kind of flesh out with you. When we talk about Yiras Shamayim, it's very interesting. Yiras Shamayim is probably the most common description that we have of being a good Jew. You ask somebody, like, you know, to describe, like, kind of like the fundamentals of, like, the basic description of, like, you know, a good upstanding Jew, is, oh, he's such a Yiras Shamayim. We have a sense that Yiras Shamayim is somehow very, very basic to Jewish life, to Jewish experience. And the definition of Yiras Shamayim, let's take it from the way Rav Yerucham Lavavitz describes it. Rav Yerucham talked once about Yiras Shamayim being comparable to somebody who's sobering up from being drunk. A person who's drunk, we know he's not really in touch with the actual reality around him. And as you sober up, you all of a sudden kind of wake up to see what's really there, okay? Yiras Shamayim is a person who is awake to the reality of the world. What does that mean, right? Until now, we've been saying that being mindful, being present, being aware has a lot to do with being here in the moment that you're in. But in this moment that we're in, what we fail to realize sometimes is that there's not only a physical reality that we live in, there's a whole other dimension called a spiritual reality, called Ruchnius. A Yiras Shamayim is a person who realizes that this world is not only a physical world, it's also a spiritual world. There's also Ruchnius, and that Ruchnius, okay, is no less real. It's just as real as the physical entities that we see around us, right? Ravolbi writes this in Ali Shor. He bases basically his whole Sefer, Ali Shor, on this Yisod. He says, what are we really trying to do in this world? We're trying to make spirituality something tangible, something that we are constantly aware of, something that we're mindful of all the time. A Yiras Shamayim is aware of Hashem's presence in his life. That's the basic definition of Yiras Shamayim. Being aware that Hashem is real, just as real as you are sitting across from me. Just as I don't need any proof to your existence because you're sitting here with me, right? A Yiras Shamayim is a person who knows with certainty that Hashem is a reality, and he's here, and he's with me, and he cares about what I do. That's what a Yiras Shamayim is. Now, in order to live that kind of a life, we have to be able to tap in to a dimension of reality that we can't see. You can't see Hashem with your physical eyes. And what we're always trying to develop is a way to tap in, to basically develop spiritual vision, where you can see more than what your physical eyes can see. Okay? That you can look around in this room and you don't only see physical entities, right? You see beyond the physical. I'm going to explain what that means. There's a piece in the Nefesh HaChaim. I'm going to read it from Ali Shor because he brings it down here, but you can also see it inside in the original. He talks about in Bayis Rishon, during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, it was a time when spirituality, when Ruchnius, could be tangibly felt by everybody, right? It was impossible, says Nefesh HaChaim, to be a kofar during that time. You couldn't deny Hashem's existence. Now, people messed up in other ways. They could attribute Ruchnius, they could worship Avodah Zarah, Right? They could say that the spirituality they're perceiving is not coming from our God, it's coming from a different God, but it was impossible to be a kofar and to say that the spiritual world doesn't exist. It says in Nefesh HaChayim, what we lost after the time of the first Beis HaMikdash during Bayis Sheni is that we were now able to deny the existence of a world beyond the physical. That's what Bayis Sheni did not have, that Bayis Rishon did have. And Bayis Sheni, we didn't have open miracles. We know that the Purim story was the transition. It was the first story that we have after Bayis Rishon. And what makes the Purim story so important in our history is that it was a turning point where now we were focusing on hidden miracles instead of open miracles. Until then, in all Bayis Rishon, you had open miracles and you couldn't deny Hashem's existence. By Sheni, that's when we started having the Tzedukim, who said that we only have the physical world. That's when the Greeks came in, and the Greeks were, we know very famously, only concerned with what we could see, what we could comprehend, what we could touch. Everything that was beyond, the Greeks felt, did not have any bearing on our lives and didn't exist as far as they were concerned. The Ramban has a quote where he talks about the Greeks, and he says, he describes them as She'enam ma'aminim ela b'ma she'enehim ros. They only believed in what their eyes could see. The Kuzari talks about this also when he's discussing the different philosophies. In other words, it was understood that at that point in history, anything that was beyond the physical already started coming into question. And since that time, we've been left with this problem. How do we take something that we believe in, which is we believe is just as real as the physical world, right? And how do we treat it as a real entity? How do we make Hashem something that we are aware of on our day-to-day, on our day-to-day lives? So I think taking this concept of mindfulness one step further, if mindfulness is in its yisod, the basic idea is being aware of reality as it exists right now, what we say is, yes, a person does have to be aware of the reality, but the whole reality. That our jobs, we're always trying, and this is really what emunah is. We're trying to strengthen our ability to see what's beyond what our physical eyes can see. Okay, to know that Hashem and Ruchnias is a whole world that exists right here in front of us, and we can tap into that and live in accordance with that. Now, I want to just take one more step, and maybe this will help clarify. That extra dimension that I'm talking about right now, call it the Hashem dimension, the Ruchnias dimension that we're trying to live with, when you tap into that, what is it that you actually see? You know, the Chazon Ish was famous for once writing that when he would go outside, he would see a purplish hue, kind of surrounding nature. Because the Chazon Ish, and we don't see that, but the Chazon Ish was somebody who, he kind of saw this glow in the world, because he knew that the physical world that he was looking at is not the only world. There's more to it. The reality is, Lamaisa, that we don't see that, and we're not expected to just all of a sudden see like everything start to glow because we see that everything has this kind of spiritual dimension. Even though it's true, everything has a spiritual dimension, but we're not looking for things to start sparkling because they're all of a sudden spiritual. So what does it mean to see things with spiritual glasses? So the way we think of that is that when we look at things, the extra dimension that we see is a dimension of purpose. Okay? That we can be mindful that everything we come into contact with has a purpose. There's a reason why it's here. There's a way that it's supposed to be used. And not only is that true of all the things that we come into contact with, but that's true of all of the moments that we're in. And this is why I think mindfulness is so important. We say in davening every day, Machadesh betuvo b'chol yom tam b'maaseh bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world every single moment anew. Which is a mind-boggling idea if you think about it. That every single, we think that these things called laws of nature, and you know, they were set into motion once upon a time, and they kind of run themselves. The truth is, if you really knew the laws of spiritual physics, I guess we could call them, what's actually happening is that Hashem is recreating the world every single second. Hamachadish, betuvo, b'chol yom, tamid, ma'aseh bereishis, every single day is a maisa bracious. And the truth is, every single moment is another moment of creation. Now, we know that Hashem only does things for a purpose. It's one of the foundations of our belief. Hashem didn't throw this world together in an arbitrary way. Everything has a purpose. Put these two things together. Hashem creates the world anew every single moment, and He does things only for a purpose. That means that Hashem creates the world every single moment anew with a purpose in mind. Hashem, if there wasn't a purpose for every moment, He wouldn't create that moment. Okay? It's part of the way that we see the world as Jews, that every single situation that we're in, everything that we come into contact with, has a reason for why Hashem created it. There's actually an amazing Arizal. The Arizal says that the Mishnah Navos that says in Ananu Imili, if not now, the end of that Mishnah is Vim Lo Achshav Ematai, right? If not now, when? Right? So the Arizal says an amazing thing on that Mishnah. When we say if not now, when, which is kind of like, you know, there's no moment like the present, you know, take advantage of the now. Says the Arizal, just like we believe firmly that every person has a purpose for why he's here, we also believe that every moment has a purpose for why it was created. That all of our moments have a purpose, right? And that no moment is like any other moment. Okay? It's an unbelievable fact. In other words, like, it's not true that when you're davening Maariv tonight, it's just going to be like all the previous Maarivs of the year. The Maariv that you have tonight has its own special uniqueness that Hashem gave you the opportunity to be in this moment with this Maariv in order to have this tefillah, and it's unlike any other Maariv you're ever going to daven. Any other Maariv you did daven, any other Maariv you're going to daven for the rest of your lives. There's no Maariv like the Maariv you're going to daven tonight. And that's what the Arizal is saying. In Lo Achshav Ematai, if you miss the opportunity that your moments present you with, you won't get those moments back. I once heard somebody say, we have to live our lives as if our moments matter, because they really do. And that's, I think, what mindfulness is really all about. It's not just about being present in the moment in a physical sense, about what's happening around you and what's happening inside of you. That's also very, very good. But I think if we think of it in the bigger scheme of things, we have to realize that we have to be mindful of the moments that we're in, because we don't want to miss the whole purpose for this moment's existence. Hashem created us, and He said, I don't want you to think about what was and what will be. I have a tachlis for the moment that you're in right now. I'm creating the world right now. It's as if we're saying to Hashem, I'm not going to be thinking about, there's a quote that I once saw, if you worry about what might be and wonder what might have been, you will ignore what is. Which is really this same idea. It's essentially Hashem is saying, I'm giving you life right now to do something with it. And our minds are somewhere else. It's impossible to partner with Hashem in what we're supposed to produce in this moment if we're not in this moment. Living in the present is the only way that we can take advantage of why we're here. There's a statement of the Gra. It's a bit of a scary statement, but I'll tell it to you because I think we have to know it. The Gra says, he's talking about the Mishnah and Avos that says, "Dalifnei miyata asid litein din v'cheshbon." You have to know before whom are you going to give din v'cheshbon. So the Gra says, why does it have din v'cheshbon? It's a famous question. We have to know, basically the Mishnah is saying, we have to know before whom we're going to, I guess, have to answer to. So what does it mean, answer to din and answer to cheshbon? Says the Gra, the din that we're going to face after 120 years is the way that we would have all explained the Mishnah. Din is the mitzvahs that you did, the averes that you did, you're going to have to answer up for what you did in this world. That's kind of the reckoning. Cheshbon is where Hashem is going to show you all of the moments and how you could have used them versus how you did use them. It's very, very scary, Gra. Right? Because the answer is that every moment, that there's. I once saw, I think I quoted here once, Viktor Frankl. He writes in one of his books that a person should live as if he's living for the second time. That's a beautiful way to say it. You should live as if you're living for the second time, and you learn from the mistakes the first time. Right? Because when we get to Shemayim Achriat Me'eves Roshana, Hashem's going to hold up all of our moments and said, "This is the purpose as to why I created all those moments. Did you realize that purpose? Were you engaged in the world in the moments that I gave you, so that you could then figure out how to use them?" And that's, I think, why we have to be mindful. It doesn't matter what word you use. Why we have to be present. Why we have to be aware. Why we have to be awake. Because if we don't, we're not going to know how to respond to the reality that Hashem put us in. It's as if, and it's funny to say as if, because it's not really like a fantasy. Hashem's here with us. We all believe that. Okay? He's accompanying us through our lives. And He gives us a whole lot of opportunities to do amazing stuff. But we could be, as Rav Yerucham says, we could be drunk. We can really be just out of touch with that reality. And if we're out of touch, then we're not going to know what we're supposed to do. The Rav of Soloveitchik, he once said that he wasn't zocha to understand a lot of Rav Kook's writings, but there was one writing of Rav Kook that he understood, and he felt like, he said he felt it in his bones. And it was the following statement of Rav Kook. Rav Kook commented on the what we say in davening on Yom Kippur, towards the end, Ad shalo notzarti, eini kedai, ta'achshav shenotzarti, ki'ilu lo notzarti. Right, which means that until I was born, before I was born, it wasn't kedai for me to be born. Now that I was born, it's as if I didn't do anything. So Rav Kook said on that point that before a person is born, there's no use for him in the world. There's absolutely no reason for you to be in this world before you get here. Hashem handpicks you to come into the world at the time when you do, because it's only now that you can do your mission. It's only now that you can have any use to the world. Until now, if you had been born an earlier time, you couldn't have had any use. Hashem chose not to put you here. It's only now. Right? That's what people aren't supposed to say. If I had lived in a previous generation, it would have been so much better. Or then it was easier, or this and that. No. If you were supposed to be born then, you would have been born then. Hashem put you here now because there's something now that you're supposed to do. There's actually a statement of the Chafetz Chaim that says something like this. The Chafetz Chaim in Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu hears from Hashem for the first time by the Sneh. So the Pasuk says, what's the first thing that Hashem says to Moshe? To take off your shoes. So why does He say that? So Hashem says to Moshe, Ki hamakom asher ata omed alav admas kodeshu. The place that you're standing is a holy place. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the makom that you're in is a holy makom. Not only the physical place that you're in, but your place, your space in the world is holy. Right? There's something kadosh, as we've talked about before. Kedusha means designated. Anything that is hekdesh means designated for the Bedek HaBayis, for the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So if you realize that the place that you're in is designated for a purpose, you realize that you are on Admas Kodesh. So the Chafetz Chaim says. So one of the Maramokum wanted to read you. It's a Likutei Moharan. Likutei Moharan comments on the parak in Tehillim that we, it's the first parak that we say in Kabbalah Shabbos every Friday night. So there's a pasuk there that says, Hayom im bekolo tishmo. Right? Hayom im bekolo tishmo. Today, if you listen to my voice. So I just want to read this to you because it's such a beautiful passage. It says, Likutei Moharan. It says, Hayom bekolo tishmo, ze klal gadol ba'avodas Hashem. Shelo yasim kineged enav ki im oso hayom. A person should only put in front of his eyes that day that he's in. Ki ein la'adam ba'olamo ki im oso hayom. A person only has that day. Ba'oso hashash omed bo. He only has the moment that he's in. Ki yom hamacharas tomorrow hu olam acher legamrei. It's a totally different world. Right? You're not in yesterday. You're not in tomorrow. You're only in today. Today you have an opportunity to do something that if you're not mindful of it, you're going to miss it. And that's why we have to try to wake up to what's going on right now. Now, this isn't to say that we don't have to make plans for the future. This isn't to say that we're supposed to be irresponsible and not learn from the past. That's not my point. We, of course, have to have time when we plan for the future. And we have to have time where we process the past. That's for sure true. My point is, though, that we can get stuck in the future and stuck in the past. And I'm talking on a day-to-day level, where we just lose engagement in what's going on right now. I once heard Rav Moshe Weinberger from Eish Kodesh say a nice little vignette, little story about, he was talking about the sort of Menuchas HaNefesh, and he brought up this idea, and he said that there was a chassid who once came to the Kotzker. He came from a different town, and he was traveling to Kotzk, and he met with the Kotzker there. And the Kotzker asked him where he was from, and then he said, tell me, what's your Rebbe's greatness? Every Rebbe has his own greatness, his own thing that he's really special in. What's your Rebbe's greatness? And the chassid said to him that the greatness of my Rebbe is whatever moment he's currently in. That's my Rebbe's greatness. And so the way that Rav Moshe Weinberger tells the story is that the Kotzker was so misbehaved in this. He was so unbelievably amazed. Did you hear such a thing of a Rebbe whose greatness is the moment that he's in? The thing is, it's this same idea. So I want to try to suggest a couple of ways that we can enhance our presence and really take this yesod and make it practical. I want to go through a few ideas, and hopefully they'll speak to you. So first of all, Rav Volbe has a sefer called Pirkei Kinyan Das, and in that sefer, he talks about the yesod of what he calls simas lev, which is paying attention, learning how to pay attention. It's striking how little we sometimes pay attention to what's going on around us. And one of the ways that he talks about noticing your surroundings is pausing. I'm a very big fan of the pause. Okay, pausing basically means that every now and then a person should stop what he's doing and just open his eyes to the reality that he's in, to the world that he's in, to the surroundings that he's in. And he should think to himself, what's the purpose of the moment that I'm in? What is it that I should be doing with this mitzias that Hashem is creating right now? Okay, if Hashem would materialize in front of me and say, this is what I want you to be doing right now, what would that be? Okay, that is what Yirat Shamayim is, thinking about what do you want from me, Hashem? What is Ratzon Hashem? Okay, pausing is a very good way to do that. If we don't pause, we kind of like tumble from one moment to the next, and we're doing a lot of things, but we're really not awake a lot of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, right, to the fullness of this moment. So pausing, having simas lev. Okay, the way that Rav Volbe talks about it there is, which I think is also helpful, is transitioning from one moment to the other. He talks about there how, you know, when you're leaving the Beis Medrash and you're walking to the Chadar Ochel. So the Beis Medrash has its own tachlis of something that you should be doing. If you're transitioning now into a new place, there's a new tachlis, there's a new tafkid that you have. And you have to transition from one to the next, or else you won't really be there in the new reality that you're in. Another place I want to talk about it for a second is in terms of learning. There's a Maharal and also a Gra that's brought down by the Sifsei Chaim that I want to share with you. So the Maharal is in his Hakdama to Tiferes Yisrael. He's talking about why we make the bracha of Lasok v'Divrei Torah. Right? We should make every morning. We should say the bracha of Lilmod Torah, the bracha to learn Torah. Why Lasok v'Divrei Torah? To be Osek in Torah. So the Maharal there says, I'll read it to you inside. He says, "Lachin mevarchin lasok b'divrei Torah, bein shehu mechavin ha-halacha, o she'enu mechavin ha-halacha." We learn Torah whether or not you're mechavin to the right halacha, whether or not you get it right. Rak she'echavin lomor ha-emes af al gav she'shagag. He's saying a lot of people make a mistake that the goal of my, and this is a bit of a subtle point, but I think it's very, very important. The goal of my learning is in order to get it right. In other words, the goal is to reach MS. And that's true. That's true. We learn in order to know MS. But the point of morale is saying is that even if you make a mistake and you don't get it right, it's still called learning. Why is it still called learning? Because the point of learning is to be engaged in the learning, to be invested in the learning, not only so that I can get to the result of knowing it, okay? It's to be engaged in it because I want to be fully in this moment that I'm doing, right? Sometimes when we learn, we can be very, very worried, am I getting it right or am I not getting it right, right? And we forget that when we do that, it pulls us out of being fully here with what we're learning. The Gra once wrote, and this is the Sifta Chaim brings it down, that when a person learns, he should have the mindset that I'm the only person in the world, I only have 1 hour to live, and there's only one page of Gemara, the one in front of me. So the Gra wrote. Okay? In other words, really being present when you're learning means that I'm not thinking about did I get it right, did I not get it right, did I understand? I want to just be fully osik. Even if in the end, as the Maral says, even if in the end, afagav sheshagag, I wasn't mechav into the halacha. Okay? I make the recha of lasok b'divrei Torah because the goal is to be osik b'Torah. Osik b'Torah means I'm here. I'm fully here. So that's one of the areas where we have to be completely present. I want to make one more suggestion, and this is based on something that the P.S.S.N. writes. And it's a little out there, but I don't think it should be so out there. I think we can all tap into this in our own way. So the P.S. Etzner, you might be familiar with the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim. He wrote many other Sfarim, but he also wrote a short piece. Actually, it wasn't him writing it. Somebody else wrote. But he used to talk about the idea of Hashkata. Hashkata from the word Sheket, which literally means learning how to quiet the mind, learning how to still the mind. And I want to talk a little bit about what some people might decide to do this, about a meditation. Okay? It's a little bit out there, but bear with me. It doesn't have to be so scary. The word meditation has lots of, like, spooky connotations, and I think it doesn't have to. One of the ways that we learn how to be present, okay, is by training our mind to do so. Okay? As I said before, our minds are naturally programmed, Hashem programmed them, but their natural state is to be thinking about the past or they're thinking about the future and not really to be here in the present. It's like a muscle that we have to work out and we have to train. And I want to lay out a little bit of an idea, a suggestion of if one would want to engage in an actual training to learn how to focus the mind on the present moment, how you might do that. So, most of what I'm talking about right now, as far as being in the moment, is being in the present moment in our external reality. Being here with the stuff that's around us. But it's just as true that we have to know how to be present with our internal reality. We all have an internal reality, the thoughts, the feelings that are with us all the time. Okay? One of the ways that we can help ourselves be present with our internal reality, which then does spill over into our external reality, is by learning how to kind of quiet the mind, quiet our inner reality. And one way that you can do that is taking some time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. It can be 2 minutes. It can be 5 minutes. You know, a person can go for as long as he wants. And you turn your focus inside for a moment. All right, turn your focus inside. It means that you know, a lot of people close their eyes when they do this, and you find a quiet place where you can go. When you focus your attention inward, okay, you first try to get a sense of what are all the thoughts and feelings that are kind of running around inside of me right now. And you just give a label to each one of them. So, for instance, I might close my eyes and I might see there's a worry. There's something that I have to do. There's a a comment that somebody said to me that I feel, I'm not sure how I feel, I'm kind of angry at him. You know, you start just to give a label to each one of the thoughts and feelings that you notice inside. And you're basically saying, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you, okay? Every one of the thoughts and the feelings that people have inside, every one of them is calling for your attention, right? And the mind is kind of, and one of the first things you discover when you try to focus inward is that it's a very, very confusing jungle inside for every one of us, right? The moment you go inside and you try to see what's there, like which thoughts are running through my head, which feelings are kind of pulsating through my body, you immediately will start to see, oh my gosh, there's a lot going on here. You know, I can't make sense of it, and it's kind of like buzzing all over the place. The first thing that's important to learn how to do in quieting the mind and learning how to be present is learning how to create a sense of stillness by noticing first each one of the thoughts and the feelings that is present with you. Now, I'll give you a mashal. A good mashal for that is a parent comes home, okay, and he hasn't seen his kids all day, and his kids have so much to tell him. They come in, and they all want his attention at the first time. They jump on him, and every one of them is calling for his attention. Now, the parent knows when he comes home, he's not going to be able to give attention to every one of his kids at the same time. So what does he do? He acknowledges the presence of each one of his kids. I see you, I see you, I see you, and I know you want my attention, this and that and the other. However he does it, and by giving that recognition, okay, the kid is able to calm down because I've been seen. And even if my father, my mother is not going to be able to listen to me fully right now because I have a lot of other siblings, I know that he's seen me, and when he's able to, he'll listen to me, he'll get back to me. Okay? The way that Piasetzner would say it is that a person has to get used to asking himself, what am I thinking? What are the thoughts? What are the feelings that are going on inside me? Now, it doesn't take a long time to do that, but a person has to kind of do like a round table almost. You go inside and you say, okay, there's this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought. And all of them have been seen. And just like in the metaphor, where when you do that for your kid, for your kids, it kind of calms the scene because every one of them has been acknowledged. It works the same way with us. And in order to create some kind of a seder inside, we have to give acknowledgement to all of the different parts of us that are there. Now, after we do that, what we're trying to do is to learn how not to be taken over by any one particular thought or feeling. Okay, again, back to the metaphor. If you walk in and one of the kids is so overbearing that he just, like, you don't have any control over this, right? So then it's going to just, chaos is going to break out. And he's going to be yelling and he's going to be screaming and he's going to be, you know, whatever it is. The same thing happens with us. We want to learn how to do is to be in control, a little more in control, of our mental processes. And the way that we do that is by saying that just because I have this thought or this feeling doesn't mean I need to indulge that right now. Am I making any sense to anybody? Yeah? Okay. By a lot of blank stares. Okay? What's that? Yeah, I understand. Just because we would all do a meditation together, although you'd all fall asleep if we do that, we can't do that now. But the goal of doing this kind of a practice, and again, you should understand, this is not some kind of like way out there. You know, the Mishnah in Brachos that says, Chassidim Rishonim Hayushon Sha'achas Lefnei Atfila, the Chassidim Rishonim used to spend an hour before davening every morning. It's a Mishnah. Why would they do that? They would do it in order to focus themselves, quiet their minds, so they could be fully present when they daven. Right? We should all be doing this. Maybe not an hour. We can start with 2 to 5 minutes. I mean, whatever it is. That's a good amount of time in the beginning. But the point is, we want to gain a little more control over our mental process so that we're not just kind of like yanked in all different directions by this thought, that thought, this feeling, that feeling. We basically have no control over where our mind goes. We're kind of mindless a lot of the time. So by doing this kind of exercise, you're working out the muscle of your mind so that you're making a choice. Just because I have this thought that's pulling from my attention, and this thought that's pulling from, and I have this worry, and I have this concern, and I have this fear, and I have this angry thing, and I have this thing that I have to do, just because I have all that stuff pulling from my mental attention, doesn't mean that I need to run away with that. Doesn't mean I have to indulge that. I can acknowledge its presence inside of me right now, and I can bring my focus back to the center. Now, what's the center? A lot of people find it very helpful to focus on something that's happening right now in the present. An obvious choice is to focus on your breathing. Okay, the breathing is a sensation that's happening right now in this moment. And what you find very quickly is that it's very, very hard to keep your focus on your breathing. It's very, very hard to keep your focus on the present-centered experience of just breathing. Breath in, breath out, breath in, breath out, right? Just focus. It's hard because your mind goes in all different crazy directions, okay? Now, why are we doing this? It sounds kind of like weird, focus on your breathing. When you do this, you're learning how to keep your focus present-centered and not to get carried away in all different directions that your mind wants to go, okay? That directly translates into your external experience, okay? You will find yourself with more and more practice being able to be more present in a conversation. Because even if you have other thoughts that are intruding into your awareness, you've trained yourself to be able to say, not now. I don't have to go there. I don't have to indulge that. I can stay here right now. You'll find yourself being able to be more focused in your learning. You'll find yourself being able to be much more engaged, even in mundane things like eating. You know, how many times have you made it through a meal and forgot that you actually ate anything? You didn't even realize you were eating, but somehow everything got off your plate and into your stomach. Right? It happens to all of us because we're just not aware of what we're doing. Right? The same thing goes for brachas. How many times have you made a bracha and you don't remember if you made a bracha because you just were not there, your mind was somewhere else. The more that you train yourself, and meditation is one direct way that I know of to do that, you're more present for sure in davening. What's one of the hardest things about davening? Your mind goes in all different crazy directions. And you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't bring it back here. So you have to take it upon yourself to train your mind a little bit to be able to stay here. So that when those thoughts, all those different things that pull you, come up during davening, you can say, I'm pulling my attention back to the present, back to this word, back to this bracha. And just because I have this thought that's popping in does not mean I have to indulge it right now. I can leave it there. I'll get back to it. Because I'm in control of what I choose to focus on. Okay? I hope, there's a lot more to say about that, but I hope that what you take from this is that Hashem wants us to be engaged in the moments that we have. We can't squander the opportunities that we're given. We can't just kind of like tumble into the next, you know, hour, the next minute, even the next second. As if we have endless moments, because each moment really does matter. And we do have an ability, and it's an amazing ability. I think that this kind of like mindfulness movement has opened up something that we really need to incorporate into our Avodas Hashem and learn from, because the opportunities are enormous. And I think what we should be taking from it is really asking ourselves that question, am I really here? In my moments of my Avodas Hashem, where I can realize the tachlis of my moments, and I'm thinking about how right now there's a chance for me to respond to this moment and tap into the purpose of existence right here, right now. So I think we need to at least give this some thought, and hopefully we should all come out being a little more mindful in the way we serve Hashem. Okay.